This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Syme.
We lost our ability with FPC-3, so what we got now on Tedris is what we got.
Endeavour Houston, that is correct.
Houston, we have a problem. The U.S. Space Shuttle program is shutting down. After 30 years, two tragedies, and 130 successful missions that seem to make spaceflight almost routine, the shuttle program is coming to a close, and what's next in manned spaceflight for America is unclear.
ADTA is going to be at half speed, and you're going to see that discrete on number one.
Astronauts prepare for contingencies, like when a fuel cell on a spacecraft conks out.
Oh, that's not good. That is not good.
Notice that astronauts don't actually say, "Houston, we have a problem," but coolly proceed into a sequence of actions to conserve power.
Okay, and I've also got all the nominal stuff for now. Okay, have CDR go to left of second fuel cell power ready there. Right.
This is the command crew of Endeavour STS-134, scheduled for liftoff in February 2011. Commander Mark Kelly, pilot Greg Johnson, known as Box, Michael Fink, known as Spanky, and Roberto Vittori. I'm sitting just behind the pilots in what they call the sim, an exact mock-up of the flight deck that never leaves the ground, but shakes, rattles, and rolls with some of the sensations, sounds, and sights of spaceflight. Control room engineers exult in throwing problems at the astronauts the way monkeys fling things from trees.
FPC-3, bye-bye.
This is how the engineers reacted when they killed a fuel cell and heard the astronauts groan. Their role is to design what amounts to stump the astronaut scenarios.
We go in the office and we'll say, okay, what do we want to do today, you know? And then we want to put this mail failure, we want to do this.
Stephen Messersmith is the flight director of this sim session, essentially the director of an improvisational drama, which challenges the flight crew with every dire contingency they can concoct. He chews on an apple while the astronauts try to save their craft from simulated doom.
I mean, they have a checklist that has all the different single failures. So what we do is we exercise those malfunctions, you know, and put them in different combinations so that one of the things they have to do is kind of what would be the next worst type of failure that would come up.
This run-through lasts for almost 2 hours and ends with a successful landing despite the onslaught of problems. The crew joins their tormentors in the control room for a debriefing, in which all that fly by are the initials and acronyms by which they know every piece of equipment and procedure.
I'd gotten everything except ACCU-2.
And you fixed the other issue.
Exactly, so you fixed it. But everything else we were already committed.
And they settle accounts like true men.
So, in summary, I think you owe a beer, and you owe him a beer.
The sim runs in a large, light, white, cool room that simmers with machines. Commander Mark Kelly invited me to join him for a test ride in the replica Endeavour, which hums with power and blinks with lights.
Is there one button that I shouldn't absolutely push under any circumstances whatsoever?
That is absolutely true. And what color do you think that button would be?
Red.
Okay, and where's the red button?
Right there, fire hole. Oh, that right there in front.
Right on top of the
stick.
Of
me. Okay, never push that, right?
Don't push that. What that does, it'll shut down these four computers and it'll cause this one to start controlling the vehicle.
Okay.
Commander Kelly decides that we'll go through a simulated liftoff. The sim rocks back 90 degrees so that we're on our backs, counting down to liftoff. Through the windows, we see the night sky we're about to pierce.
We're pointing straight up. It's nighttime.
Those are the stars.
I'm going to configure these displays how they would be for liftoff.
Okay.
Mine's like that.
And we wait for liftoff.
This is the part where you start, because it's actually not a lot to do right now.
Yeah.
Just a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
Like, is this really a good idea? So at about this point, the onboard computers take control of the whole vehicle. And if everything goes well in ascent, we actually don't do a lot except monitor what happens.
Okay, yeah.
But when things do go wrong, there's a lot of stuff that we can do to intervene.
Yeah. That's happened to you?
I've had an issue on every ascent.
Really?
Okay, look at the clock. 7, 6 seconds. Yeah. The main engines are going to start. You'll see these tapes come up right here.
Yeah.
2, 1, liftoff. Watch the tower go by. And we're going straight up. Now I want you to say Houston Endeavour roll program.
Houston Endeavour, should I click it?
Yeah.
Houston Endeavour roll program.
And then the Capcom would say, Roger, roll Endeavour.
Oh my gosh. We're rocketing towards the stars, aren't we?
Yep. at about 30 seconds, we're 30 seconds into the flight, you see the main engines are going to throttle back a little bit.
This is no doubt tame stuff to Commander Kelly, who'll ride Endeavour for real into space for his fourth mission. The shaking and sounds, the sights flashing by are convincing enough to make your pulse race. Even a ride aboard the simulator reminds you that there have been a couple of real-life tragedies in the space shuttle program. As the astronauts train, they sometimes confront a problem that defeats them in the simulator. As Commander Kelly says,
yeah, not frequently, and you don't want to typically make a mistake and do that because it generates all kinds of reports.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did have a couple weeks ago an incident where it was unrecoverable. We lost control, and if it happened in flight, we would have died. So that's something you don't like to happen. And and in that case, it was an error that we made.
Really?
So, yeah. So that doesn't happen often, but when it does, in some regards, it's good because now you know you're not going to make that mistake in space.
The crew of this last Endeavour mission expects to be busy during their 10 days in space. They'll deliver supplies to the International Space Station, where, by the way, Mark Kelly's twin brother, Scott Kelly, who's also an astronaut, will be aboard. They'll install a glacial freezing module, conduct spacewalks and experiments, and launch a $1.5 billion dark matter detector into space. After so many flights, Commander Kelly can have a dark sense of humor. He's seen things few men and women have, like swelled heads in outer space.
In zero-G, a lot of the fluid, plasma and stuff that's in your lower extremities floats up and winds up in your head. That's why you sometimes see people look like they have these giant heads, and it's not just from being in space. It's...
literally, the fluid's
literally,
going?
Literally. Yeah, your head gets all puffy.
Now, your brother's going to be up in space a long time, right?
Yeah, but Scott will be in space for about 6 months. He launches in October, comes home in March, and we'll be there in February.
Yeah, February, yeah.
See him. That'll be interesting.
So his head ought to be like the size of a blimp at that point.
Yeah, maybe.
Nobody will know you're twins by the time you get to see him.
That's how you'll tell the difference. I'll have this giant head.
What makes a good crewmate?
I think it's a number of things. Somebody that you would want to go camping with, living in very close quarters, respects kind of personal space and the impact that their actions have on other people. Mm-hmm. Somebody that can do their job really well is, high on the list, that's very good at what their assigned role is in the mission. And somebody that you enjoy being around.
Yeah.
So we've got a great crew of six. There'll be another six people on the space station, including three Russians.
Yeah.
My crew includes one Italian crew member, Roberto Vittori, and then the space station crew at the same time has an Italian crew member, Paolo Nespoli. So this will be the first time we have two Italians in space as well.
Will the food be any better?
No. It's funny you ask. I asked the European Space Agency about, hey, can we get some special Italian food?
Yeah.
So far, what they've offered up is the lasagna that we've had on our menu here for 20 years.
I have to ask, is this flight going to be harder?
Yes. For me, if this does turn out to be the last flight of the space shuttle, it'd be a little bit sad. The shuttle's been just, the workhorse of the U.S. space program for 30 years, nearly. And it'll be sad to... full stop on the runway that last time and see Endeavour, carted off to a museum. But it's important that we do that so we can move on and do other things. We can't do both.
Yeah.
How about we turn this around and let you try to land it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, how about, because I don't even have a driver's license. When a man's commander calls him to duty, it's no time to shirk. Mark Kelly lines up the approach for me, points out of our windows to the familiar shape of a seahorse peninsula below.
This is all Florida out here to the left. So it's the Atlantic Ocean here.
Oh, my gosh, it is Florida out there.
And that's the Gulf of Mexico back there.
Yeah. I see the tar balls. that must be projecting.
Yeah, we're at about 70,000 feet, so that's a big tar ball if you see it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're ready to go to run if you guys are ready.
We've re-entered Earth's atmosphere, leaving behind a boom as we break the sound barrier and I try to control our craft that's streaking 700 miles per hour through the sky. The slightest move of my hand can make the shuttle swerve by miles.
Whoops.
Small inputs. It helps if you put your hand... I'm going to help you. All right. Let's turn it around.
Did we run into Jupiter? What was that planet that we seemed to run into?
That was the moon. Let me see if I can recover this.
I'm really sorry.
Then Mark Kelly shows us why he's commanded more space missions than any other human being. He notes that there's an emergency runway nearby, takes control of the craft to bring it in on a wing and a prayer.
Yeah, so this is going to be ugly because we're really steep. I'm going to get the speed brake out. And we're like in a 40-degree dive. We would normally be like in a 20-degree dive.
Yeah. So everybody would be screaming at this point.
Oh, they're not happy. And we're like, you see we're coming down like 390 knots.
Yeah.
It's going to be a challenge. I might even put the gear down now.
All right. And that's an ocean there, isn't it, too?
Yeah, so this is the runway of Cape Canaveral. We don't land the space shuttle here. But it's close, and we couldn't make from that Octoflugeron departure we did there, 50,000 feet. So I'm going to arm the gear and get the gear down. That'll slow us down some. Hopefully I won't rip them off.
We land. Our computer-generated wheels kiss the ground and roll to a stop. If I had a bottle of champagne, I'd open it, except it would have popped 700 miles per hour beforehand. I asked Commander Kelly.
So that was a brilliant bit of flying on your part.
Or just maybe just a little lucky.
All right. Well, all right. Let's see if I can redeem myself now. Sorry.
Okay, we're ready to go to run.
Okay.
I did get to try another landing. This time, at least I hit the Earth. STS-134 will be the last flight to the Space Shuttle Endeavour. NASA keeps another shuttle ready to rescue them if required, and since it costs so many millions to prepare the craft, they might mount one more shuttle mission, but Endeavour will be rolled into a museum. John Shannon, the shuttle program manager at NASA, has a child's paper cutout of an astronaut with strawberry curls in his Houston office. He got it after a local school asked 7-year-old students to draw a picture of what they wanted to be.
5 of the boys wanted to be paleontologists. I'm not sure they know what that is. But a lot of them wanted to be doctors and lawyers, and only one wanted to be an astronaut. And it was my daughter, Sarah. She's the princess astronaut there. But I put it up on my wall just to remind me that, you know, some of the youth of America are really looking forward to us to get this right.
John Shannon says he hopes America will still be ambitious enough to seek new achievements in space.
I do worry. Just like everybody else, I think, involved in human spaceflight right now with the hazy future, we can't let the gap in when the United States is launching astronauts, we can't let that get too big, or the workforce, which is incredibly talented and can be used in many different industries, we'll lose them. It is not a fluid workforce. They will go, and it will be very difficult to get them back. So what we have to do is come up with the plans and the projects to keep that team together. And I think we're starting to see that now. We're starting to see it come together.
The man who keeps the little paper astronaut that his daughter drew with her face under the helmet has seen 40 space shuttle launches and knows that for many they've become just one more routine miracle. But he urges Americans to watch this next launch.
It's a feeling like no other. It's awe-inspiring. It makes you proud that America can do something like that, and that we have the courage to do something like that, because it takes courage to go and fly in space.
John Shannon, NASA's program manager. Commander Mark Kelly and the crew of Endeavour are now scheduled to launch on February 26, 2011. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News.